Blog Talk Radio.
On the action. Good evening. Welcome to Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale Cade from Spook Show. I'm here with...
Wait. We can afford Tom Hanks? I am Dave Bickley from Weirdness Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One.
No one can really afford Tom Hanks.
Well, you know, he's a guy who likes Cleveland. He got his... kind of a break with the Cleveland Shakespeare Company, and so he's very familiar with us here, and he roots for a lot of Cleveland teams and such, so he's okay in my book.
Fine. Laugh is lack of a box of chocolate. No, he's a good actor. He's played a wide variety of types of characters. Nothing else. He's versatile.
Yeah, and he's been in what? Something like three or four films in the top 20 of the AFI's top 100 list.
Yeah, what
so
are they doing?
The man does know how to pick a movie. And yet, here I remember him from Bosom Buddies with Peter Scolari.
Oh, that's right. That's the first time we saw Tom Hanks is on Bosom Buddies show. And we got good old Bob and Fogsbane in our chat.
We do.
Live, listening. On this very night that we will hit 64,000 listens. We had 63,996 going into the night, so there's no question in my mind. The four of us
I always have
much
questions.
Do it.
I always have questions. Why is there only creamy and crunchy peanut butter? Why is that all there is in peanut butter?
Well, what would you suggest, sir?
I don't know. I'm just saying. It's just a question I have in my mind. You said there you have no question. That's a question I have.
Oh, all right. I thought maybe you had some alternate peanut butter option that maybe you'd like to present to us tonight.
Ooh, well, chocolate peanut butter, marshmallow peanut butter. Mm-hmm.
All right. No. The first one got my attention, though.
What are you talking about? You got pure sugar with peanut butter? What more could you want?
There you go.
Is that fluff? Yeah.
Over 100 chocolate chip cookies were made in our oven today.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, the wife's starting to do the Christmas baking. She made the Christmas crack. We talked about that last night in the after party.
Yeah.
My wife's making crack, but we're not selling it. We're keeping it in the family, and that's it. it's a Christmas treat. It's very good, and so on and so forth. So as we near the Christmas season, we're finishing up the weekend with some wild laughter.
Yes,
three good ones last night, Dave.
We did have three good ones last night. I'm looking forward to an interesting tale tonight from the CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Aha. Uh-huh. Childish Laughter. This is an intriguing title. I didn't cheat tonight, so I'm going in raw. I'm going in raw.
And if you are in the raw, do not tell us.
Yeah. It's radio. It won't hurt you.
Yeah, that's one of those question thoughts I have in my mind. Anyway,
so let's move on.
Tonight's episode is starring Alexander Scorby. He had been in a total of about 14 radio mystery theaters, mostly known for his reading his books on tape, especially the Bible. It was his booming voice that made the Bible so popular on the cassettes. That and Charlton Heston were the two fighting for the number one sales there on that. But, yeah.
Heston had a leg
guy.
Up having played Moses.
Yeah. That is helpful.
That's a pretty, those are pretty big shoes to fill.
It does confuse me. I mean, this guy grew up in Brooklyn, New York, as some of the other actors that we've talked about in the past. But, you know, he was a member of the Boy Scout troop and later became a cadet with the 101st National Guard Cavalry Regiment. What I want to know is what kind of merit badges do you have to get to go from Boy Scout to 101st National Guard of the Cavalry Regiment? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. It takes a special, I don't know. I can't even come up with something for that. I can't even be a wise guy for that one. And speaking of wise guys, did you like the ad for tonight?
Oh, you know, I love your ads.
To amuse you.
I love your ads. And the other pictures, the classic monster photos and stuff that you'll fix up and throw in with Erie House references. Those are just so marvelous. I get such a big kick out of them.
Yeah, there's one in the at least one in the slideshow every broadcast too as well. So
you can watch
radio.
Hey, that's what we're here for. So we're not watching what we're saying. You might as well watch what we're saying, right?
That's right. And it is a good one tonight from CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Childish Laughter. Let's get started with this one, Dave. What do you think?
Yeah, we could do that. Let me get over here to the good old fun story of a dance. Sam Dan, and actually his daughter, I think, submitted a couple of scripts as well. But this guy wrote an amazing number. And I think he was also a secondary voice in some cases. I'm just looking up real quick here. How many episodes he wrote? He said he appeared in 438 episodes. I think it was he wrote 438 episodes of the Radio Mystery Theater. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is.
And the consistency of which the story he wrote. So, you know, the stories that he wrote. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to taking a look at this. Yeah. Again.
Yep. And we might as well go with part one of Childish Laughter. This one was originally broadcast way back in
episode 813 from April 10th. Of 1978.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents Come in. Welcome. I am E.G. Marshall. Time, said Mr. Thoreau, is but the stream I go a-fishing in. Yes, all of us go angling in the stream of time, and for each of us it's exactly the same body of water. Then, how to account for the fact that some succeed in landing whales, while others can only come up with minnows?
Let me say this. I'm an extremely practical person. I'm a scientist.
I know that.
I believe in the scientific method.
Of course.
I only accept what can be demonstrated.
Please, doctor.
You call me doctor. You respect my credentials.
I do.
That little girl is here, playing on the grounds.
That little girl died last week.
Did she? Listen.
Mystery drama Childish Laughter was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Alexander Scourby and Laurie March. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Now, if you order a new midsize two-door or four-door Buick Century Custom with an available 3.8-liter V6 engine, chrome-plated wheels, 5545 seats, AM-FM radio, sport mirrors, electric digital clock, and an exterior molding package, we'll add power steering and power brakes at no extra charge. It's the deal of the century. Buick Century models are equipped with GM-built engines supplied by various divisions. See your Buick dealer for details.
When I go shopping, there's no doubt my MasterCharge card carries clout.
When you carry MasterCharge, you carry clout.
MasterCharge is the number one card used by more people in more places to buy more things than any other card in the world. That's clout.
When you carry MasterCharge, you carry clout.
Don't miss out. Carry clout.
I'm here in the Garden of Eden with the person who knows most about temptations. Hello, Adam.
Hey, lady. How come you're wearing so many clothes?
Adam, I want you to taste something to see if it tempts you.
I'll bet you'd look great in a fig leaf.
It's brand new, see?
Knutson cheesecake dessert?
The K is silent, Adam. It's Knutson cheesecake dessert in a cup. And we think it's pretty tempting.
Hey, you're not bad yourself, you know?
Adam, try the strawberry.
Did you know that you have beautiful eyes?
It's sweet and rich with real sour cream and cream cheese.
And you have a wonderful... Did you say real sour cream and cream cheese?
All whipped up light and creamy.
Let me try that. Hey, this is tempting.
You like it?
It tickles my ribs.
Knutson Cheesecake Dessert comes in 7 rich, tempting flavors in individual serving cups. Try one and tickle your ribs.
Adam, try the raspberry. Adam... What are you doing?
Tickling your wrist.
The best of men cannot suspend their fate. The good die early, the bad die late. So speaks the poet. The pure flame burns the brightest, and is therefore most quickly consumed. So says the chemist. Thus, we have one of those happy, if infrequent, agreements between art and science. It is twilight. The narrow two-lane roadway twists a tortuous trail through some of the loveliest, if loneliest, country in the Northeast. The man driving the car is convinced by now that he is hopelessly lost. He casts an anxious glance at the gasoline gauge. The needle has been moving inexorably to the left. Already it is brushing the edge of the E. And now suddenly...
What the... Look out! Little girl! Look out!
He opens his eyes. He takes a deep breath. The car has crashed into a tree. Muttering a silent, heartfelt prayer... He tries to start it.
That's that. Wait. A child. A little girl. That little girl. What happened to that little girl? I didn't hit her. I know I didn't hit her. Could I have hit her without knowing it? No, that's not possible. Where is she? Where'd she go? What's a child like that doing out here all by herself? Little girl? I want to help you. Where are you? Little girl?
Afraid not.
Look, I know it's wise to be careful of strangers who want to enter your home. I suppose I could be a thief. But I assure you, my plight is genuine. Look, I don't have to come in if that's what's bothering you. You could telephone for me. The nearest garage, and
And the police?
That would be impossible. I have no telephone.
Oh, this seems to be the first house I've seen for miles. Would there be another nearby, up ahead?
No.
Well, how far is it to any sort of town?
Quite a distance.
Look, it's not just my car. I think there's a little lost child out there.
A lost child?
Yes, that's why I had the accident. She ran across the road, suddenly. She appeared from out of nowhere.
You saw a child?
I'm sure I saw a child.
But there are no children anywhere in the vicinity.
But still, I know
As the sun goes down, it casts a fascinating play of light and shadow through the trees. And one sees many things that may not be there.
Well, yes, but... Look, but afterward, I heard the little girl.
You heard a little girl?
Yes, her laughter.
A little girl's laughter?
Well, it sounded like a little girl laughing.
Or it may have been the chirping of a bird. The wind in the trees. Sometimes an animal sound.
I suppose you could be right.
Were you thinking perhaps of a little girl as you were driving along?
Now, why would I be thinking? No, not at all.
The mind, it plays such games with us sometimes.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. Look, I guess I'd better find a phone somewhere.
The darkness has already come.
Yes, I can see.
I wonder, might I prevail on you to spend the night here?
Well, yes, thank you.
And at first light, Mr. Crenshaw will arrange for repairs to your car.
Mr. Crenshaw?
My general factotum.
Look, I'm probably imposing, but I really would be quite up against it if it weren't for your very kind offer.
Then it's settled. Won't you come in, Mr.
Montrose. Hugh Montrose, Jr.
How do you do, Mr. Montrose? I am Thyra Bordenave.
Thank you, Miss Bordenave.
Mrs. Bordenave.
Oh. It's really beautiful country hereabouts, you know?
Yes.
It is somewhat desolate.
It's private.
Of course. I'm sure you and Mr. Bordenave must enjoy the privacy.
Mr. Bordenave is dead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's quite all right. Mr. Montrose, why does your face seem so familiar?
You know, this is a most impressive place you have here. Imagine a massive Victorian mansion in such a remote area.
Ah, here is Crenshaw. Where is your car?
Oh, perhaps 100 yards or so down the road.
Crenshaw, this is Mr. Montrose.
Yes, ma'am.
Show Mr. Montrose to the Aurora bedroom and then have his things brought from his automobile. The dinner is at 7:30. You should have ample time for a bath and a nap.
This way, sir.
This thing, it was happening to me. This thing that I'd seen in 50 movies and read in 100 books. The stranger who seeks shelter for the night. The mysterious brooding mansion. The beautiful lady. The menacing manservant. Why did she seem to have such a queer look when I mentioned the little girl? Now, this movie thing, this book thing, this fiction thing, it was happening to me. Or was it? Come in.
I have your things, Mr. Montrose.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Crenshaw.
I shall lay them out for you.
Thank you again. Did you look at the car?
I have arranged to have it towed to Morphy's garage in the morning, sir.
That's good. Oh, you don't have to unpack everything, Mr. Crenshaw. I'm only staying the night.
You never know, sir.
Listen.
Sir?
Did you hear that?
Hear what?
That.
I'm afraid not, sir.
But it was just as plain as...
What was?
It was a child.
A child?
Yes, a child laughing.
Well, that's impossible.
No, but I distinctly heard...
There are no children here.
That's a little child standing right outside this door. And I'll prove it. Where did she go?
Where did who go?
It was a child. I heard her laugh.
Her?
A little girl. It was the same little girl.
Sir?
Look, just a little while ago, on the road, she suddenly darted across. I had to go off to the side or else hit her. Well, You saw the car?
Yes, I saw the car.
And then I heard the little girl. She was laughing. You know, the way a child laughs.
There are no children in the house.
But, Mr. Crenshaw, I... Will you help me?
If I can.
Look, obviously I'm having a problem.
Yes, sir.
Look, I see... That is, I catch a glimpse of a little girl on the road. I hear her laugh. You follow this?
Yes, sir.
I cannot imagine what she would be doing out there all by herself. So I'm willing to believe that somehow it's in my imagination.
Yes, sir.
No. Let's not just pass it off like that. Look, Mr. Crenshaw, our imagination is a bottomless pit filled with an infinity of ideas, impressions, a witch's brew of phantoms and fantasy. Anyone may imagine anything at any time for any reason. You follow this?
Yes, sir.
So then, we may ask ourselves, how can we tell if what we see and hear is real or imagined? Do you know how we can tell?
I'm waiting for your explanation.
But the answer is that we really cannot tell. It's a matter of majority rule. You understand?
I believe so.
I just heard a little girl laughing. You didn't. Is your hearing impaired in any way, Mr. Crenshaw?
No, sir.
Then which of us is right? The rest of the house shall decide. Will you find out for me if anyone else has heard the child?
As you wish, sir.
You're not eating, Mr. Montrose.
I don't seem to be very hungry.
Please, you must show the cook an empty plate. She so rarely has a chance to prepare a meal for company. And tonight, I must say she outdid herself. Try the fish. It's fresh from our own trout stream.
Mrs. Bourdonnais.
You seem to be troubled.
Frankly, yes. I seem to be faced with a loss of my sanity.
Oh, come now.
When one loses one's perception of reality...
Oh, the business of the childish laughter.
I find it quite serious.
I'm sure you do.
And very upsetting.
I haven't heard anything. Nor has Crenshaw. Neither has Cook. Have you spoken with the other servants, Crenshaw?
Yes, madam.
And?
Nothing, ma'am.
Is there any reason why you should have seen or heard a little girl of 3 or 4?
Well, no.
Do you have any children?
No, I've always been a bachelor.
Did you ever have anything to do with children?
Why did you ask me that?
I thought perhaps that children may have been on your mind.
Why would children be on my mind?
We all think about children now and then.
Yes, perhaps that's one of the problems of our society. We're too child-centered. We seem to be obsessed with children. We make them the center of the universe. We've distorted our entire culture to accommodate the transient, destructive demands of childhood. Would you agree, Mrs. Bourdonnais?
Well, I...
Other civilizations managed to cope with children. And they did it by placing them in the proper perspective.
I dare say.
Well, I'm sorry. You must excuse me. I really don't know why I said those things.
Your accident has had a more disturbing effect than you think. A good night's rest will set things right, I'm sure.
Yes, I hope so. Look, I wonder if you'd be good enough to excuse me. No, I'm not dreaming. I hear it. It's coming from just outside my bedroom window. There she is. Little girl, what are you doing down there? What are you doing down there in the middle of the night? What, don't you belong to anyone? What are you doing all by yourself? Look, I see you. No, you're not a dream. You're a tiny, rose-cheeked little girl. You have long blonde hair. You're wearing a red pinafore. You have a doll in your arms. A doll dressed in a blue sailor suit. Wait for me. Wait. I'm coming downstairs. Wait for me, little girl. Will she wait? Who is this elusive little girl? For that matter, who are all these people? Who is Mrs. Thyra Bourdonnais, Mr. Crenshaw, and who is Mr. Hugh Montrose? Getting back to our question, will she wait?
for the answer, you will have to wait until I return with Act Two shortly.
There's a Matisse of a different color, and you know that it always belongs. Cause when you see Matisse on the label, you gotta know you can't go wrong. There's a Matisse of a different color, and you know that it always belongs. Cause when you see Matisse on the label, you gotta know you just can't go wrong.
White Matisse. It's a Matisse of a different color. An imported wine you can be sure of with a proud, lively taste like no other wine. Try White Matisse, because when you see Matisse on the label, you know you just can't go wrong.
It's a Matisse of a different color.
Imported by Dreyfus Ashby and Company, New York, New York.
I was all ready to try it until they started singing.
I thought I already did drink it since I heard them singing, you know?
That just singing will make you want to drink. With wild abandon.
Could be.
But we got a good porker of a story here working up.
This guy losing his mind or what?
Maybe, maybe not. That will be revealed at some later part of the evening. Probably in the last part. I would say.
That's when all the answers come together. We usually get some answers, and actually, you're right. I mean, a lot of times you get more questions in Act 2 and Act 3. That's where the answer all comes down.
Yep, so you got to stick around with us, gang. a bit more to this story from CBS Radio Mystery Theater, and I think we're going to have some extra fun tonight, too.
Good. I like extra fun.
Extra fun. Extra fun. Get you primed up for the holiday season.
Woohoo!
Which is forthcoming. That's right. Oh, yeah, next weekend. Just a quick reminder, and we'll say it again later because I'm redundant. We're moving our shows up to Thursday and Friday night. For the holiday weekend.
The Saturday will be the Thursday night, and Friday will be the Friday night, right?
Sure. Why not? We can do that. Move Saturday to Thursday and keep Friday where it is. Friday can get confusing enough for people.
Confusing for me.
Just confusing.
Plus, you and I both work on Friday anyway, so let's do it.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Hey,
we've run other
big paces on the holidays, Dave and I.
We've run
long weeks, especially for Halloween week. We put in our hours, man.
Yeah.
Talk to the union about this. Anyway,
I know. You know our union rep died 3 years ago, so it's really hard to get good representation out of him.
I don't know. When should we stop paying his steward fees?
You know, when should we stop paying his steward fees? That's what I want to know.
Well, as long as he's keeping us from getting in trouble with ourselves or whatever. I mean, who better than a dead guy? It's Erie House, ain't it?
Yeah, well, it's true.
There you go. Plus, I'm too cheap to get a living lawyer, so... He had good rates. Or even better now, he doesn't cash the checks for some reason. Go figure.
Yeah, he can only go at nighttime, and the banks aren't open then.
That's right.
Luckily, he doesn't live in Chicago, where that a bank is open 63 hours a week or whatever that is, 83 hours a week or whatever it is, you know?
Yeah, well, they better have a Chicago. Jeez.
That toddling town. There we go.
Yep. Yeah, I'd be in an iron cage myself, but whatever. Childish Laughter from CBS Radio
better,
Mystery Theater, Part D.
Better than an iron lung, so, okay.
Yeah, good point. Part D. We'll be back after this. So saith the goat.
just wait for his cue.
Children, they say, should be seen and not heard. However, we do seem to have a situation here concerning a child that is often heard, but rarely seen, except at certain unexpected moments. A most disturbing and elusive little lady, to be sure.
Now, don't go away, little girl. Don't go away. I'm coming downstairs. Mr. Crenshaw, Mrs. Bordenave, that little girl, she's here. She's downstairs. See for yourselves.
Well, Mr. Montrose.
I tell you, she was here less than a minute ago.
Yes?
Right here, right underneath my window. She even smiled up at me.
But where is she?
But she couldn't have gone far, Mrs. Bordenave. A little girl like that, out all by herself. How did she get here? What's she doing? Whom does she belong to?
Mr. Crenshaw.
I've been all over the grounds,
but
ma'am.
Didn't you see anything?
Nothing. And no one, sir.
But, Mrs. Bordenave, I know what you're thinking. It's my imagination that I was dreaming, no?
Well, Mr. Montrose.
Let me say this. I'm an extremely practical person. I'm a scientist. Actually, I'm a chemist. I've been indoctrinated in the scientific method. Proof, facts, evidence. I saw that little girl.
Mr. Montrose, you'll feel better in the morning.
You don't believe me.
I didn't say that.
You're trying to humor me, aren't you?
I'm not.
Then help me find that child.
Mr. Crenshaw has already searched the grounds.
We should search them again.
If you like.
I only know that I saw that little girl, and she has to be around here somewhere. But she wasn't. I looked everywhere. There wasn't a single sign of her. How could she simply disappear? How? And she'd already done it twice. All right, I could take the easy way out. I could say it's all in the imagination. I could say I'm under a strain. But it's not true. I saw the child.
Good morning, Mr. Montrose.
Good morning, Mrs. Bordenave.
You slept well, I trust.
Yes.
Please, help yourself to breakfast.
Thank you.
Mr. Montrose, do you realize that this is the first time I've seen you in daylight? And do you know, you still look familiar.
I'm sure we haven't met. I certainly would have remembered someone as gracious and charming as you.
That's very kind of you, Mr. Montrose.
Why does an attractive woman such as you shut herself away in this isolated spot, cut off completely from the world?
When my husband died, I felt that the light had gone out of my life forever.
You know, when the first primitive man saw his first sunset, he too thought the light had left the world forever. But while we live, there's always hope for a sunrise.
Yes, perhaps. Who knows? But I wonder why you should look so familiar.
I haven't the faintest idea.
Perhaps I should ask Mr. Crenshaw.
Mr. Crenshaw?
He has one of those retentive, I suppose you might even say, photographic memories.
Oh?
You're not some movie star hiding out from a voracious public, are you?
What makes you think I'm a movie star?
You're handsome enough.
Thank you. But I happen to be a chemist.
Of course. So you said last night. Crenshaw, we must arrange to have Mr. Montrose's car taken care of.
Yes, ma'am.
And since we have no telephone, I suppose you'll have to drive to town to tell Mr. Morphy to send a tow truck.
At once, ma'am.
Oh, I wouldn't like to put you all to that trouble.
It's no trouble.
I could drive to town myself and not upset the routine of your household, Mrs. Bordenave.
Very well, if you like. Crenshaw, give Mr. Montrose the keys to the blue car.
Yes, ma'am.
Crenshaw, why do you suppose Mr. Montrose should look so familiar?
His picture was in the paper, ma'am.
Oh, was it? Have we a celebrity here? What did it say?
I don't know, ma'am. I didn't read the article. I merely glanced at the picture.
Well, now, Mr. Montrose, why would your picture be in the paper?
No, I'm sure it's a mistake. Look, I'd better be getting on to town.
Mr. Montrose,
yes?
I should like to accompany you.
Oh?
Yes, I don't get out very much. It would be an excursion. Do you mind?
Mind?
Besides, it might be more effective if I were there.
Effective?
Yes. You see, Mr. Morphy is a highly independent sort. That's a local euphemism for surly, he might put you off. I, on the other hand, can exercise a certain amount of leverage.
Once again, I must add to the long list of your kindnesses toward me, Mrs. Bortonhave. What an attractive woman. I feel drawn to her, just as I'm sure she's drawn to me. Why couldn't I have met her 20 years ago? 10 years ago? What would have been the good? She would have been married to another man with whom she was deeply in love. Oh, but if we'd only known each other, she would have saved me. She wouldn't have allowed me to... No. I must not rewrite history. I would have broken her heart. Maybe she can save me now. Maybe she can help me construct an edifice of sanity. And I'll be all right. I'll be all right.
Life up here does have its compensations.
Yes, I would agree now.
No?
Yes. At one time, other things seemed so much more important.
What other things?
I suppose you could place it all under a single heading.
And what would that be?
Getting on in the world.
Was that an important thing to you?
It was the only thing.
And when did you decide it no longer mattered? Forgive me. It seems I'm prying.
No, I...
Mr. Montrose, you seem so troubled.
Well, it's early in the day. I never was much of a morning person.
Mr. Montrose, Hugh?
Yes?
After Edward Bordenave died, I never thought I'd meet another man who, well, could have even been an interesting person.
You must have loved him very much.
Too much. That isn't good either. Oh, listen to me. We hardly know each other, and here I'm ready to pour out the story of my life. Why am I doing this?
Yes, I know.
And to make matters worse, you're a fugitive.
What are you saying?
You're running away.
Look, Mrs. Bortonave.
Thyra.
I was acquitted.
Oh, perhaps not from the law, but from yourself.
None of it was my fault. There was no proof that I'd acted in a criminal or even in a careless manner. It happens. It happens all the time.
Why are you running away?
I don't know. Is that the garage? Joseph Morphy?
Yes.
Well, let's go in and see if he can fix my car.
Yes. He can fix your car. But that's all. Hello? Hello, is anybody here? Is that you, Joe?
No. I'm his brother, Jerry. Oh, it's you, Miss Bortonave. Better you don't come in here. It's full of grease and paint. I'll talk to you in the office.
They don't like anyone to come into the shop. After all, that's the scene of the crime.
Well, now, Miss Bortonave, what can I do for you?
Is Joe here?
Joe? Well, no.
Do you expect him soon? I have a job which requires his special attention.
Well, he ain't going to be here today. Maybe not even tomorrow. He's in bad shape.
He is?
Miss Bortonave, the funeral was yesterday.
A funeral? Whose funeral?
Oh, I guess you didn't know.
What didn't I know?
About Betty Jane?
Betty Jane?
Yes, Miss Bortonave. She just died sudden.
But she was only 3 years old.
3 and a half, ma'am.
But how? Why? What did Dr. Morris say?
Well, it was from... I'm not sure. It was from the thing they was feeding her.
What was that?
Well, the doc says... It was in the paper. You might have read about it. Some kind of preparation. Supposed to make them healthier, but... Well, it got something in it that certain kids just die from.
Oh, this is awful.
I understand the stuff's been taken off the market. Old Ben Manners at the drugstore, he's so mad he took all he had left and burned it.
Oh, poor Joe.
Yeah. That little girl's all he cared about in the whole world.
Yes, I know.
Smart as a whip she was, too.
Yes. Well, what we came here for originally, it seemed so important.
Well, I guess you got some work you want us to do, eh? I don't know when we can get to it, the way things are now. I don't know, maybe a week, okay?
Yes, I suppose so.
I tell you, I'd like to get my hands on the guy that made that stuff.
Maybe it wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
No, you have to understand. It was developed in the laboratory.
So?
Some research chemist was... he was trying to do good.
Yeah.
There's always a risk, you know.
Yeah, well, tell that to Joe and Edna Morphy. I was reading in the paper, at least 100 other kids are dead.
If you were reading the paper, you also should have read where the government investigators found no evidence of criminal intent. The man was completely absolved.
Yeah. Well, I don't absolve him. I hope he burns forever in the hottest fires of hell. Look what he did to just one kid. One innocent little kid. Here. Let me show you this little kid. Here. Look at this picture. Look at it.
Look, I'm only trying to explain.
Look at her. She was only 3 years old. I took this picture on her birthday. See? That long blonde hair, those big blue eyes. Her mother made her that little red pinafore. And Joe bought her the doll. The doll in a blue tailor suit.
The little girl. That's the little girl. Here, give me that.
Hey, what are you...
This is the little girl I saw on the road. Just last night.
What's he saying, Miss Borden?
And later she was underneath the window.
Who is this guy?
Hugh, you must calm yourself. Calm yourself.
What's the matter with him?
You're telling me I killed her. Is that what you're telling me?
I ain't telling you anything.
But it's true. It's true. I did. I did kill her.
He did. He says so. And therefore, he must be that man who created, invented, however it came about, that certain medicine or preparation. What a remarkably complex society we have. We have all sorts of killers and all sorts of ways to kill people. And so much of it is done unintentionally, impersonally, unconsciously. I shall return shortly with Act Three.
It's like missing two field goals. Anyway, we're back.
Unconsciously, too.
Yeah. Well, didn't I just say something nice about that guy, too? And look what he does to me.
You did.
Anyway.
You did. So I blame this on you.
That's right. It's a football reference, gang. So, anywho, this guy, no, we didn't get all our answers yet.
Nope. More questions to come. Oh, no. Answers to come. More answers to come.
This is more answers to come.
Coming up on Third Act. More answers to come.
Yeah.
As if we really got many answers, but neat little tale going on here. Neat little tale.
Yeah. And if you listen to the intro, we mixed in a bunch of various laughs from pop culture. And there's some that are just indelibly burned in our psyches. Of course, the Vincent Price laugh from the end of the Thriller song. You've got the Wicked Witch of the West. Her laugh is undeniably memorable.
Yep. As is for us in Northeast Ohio, the laugh we call the Big Chuck laugh.
Yes. Which you've heard us play.
And that's interesting. Because I think it was either Chuck saying it or John saying it at one point. They were out showing the sketches. And then when they show them, you know, they show them sometimes before they're finished in a way that they didn't have the laugh on. They purposely didn't put the laugh in. And people, it's like people didn't know when to laugh. And they didn't know what, when they heard the laugh, they knew it was over. Plus they laughed along with the laugh. And I think that's why a lot of sitcoms insist on having the laugh track in there, because it shows you, this is where you laugh. This was a funny line here, you know? So don't forget to laugh.
Yeah, and if you didn't get the joke, just laugh along or people will laugh at you. There you go.
Yeah. And then, you know, just don't point and laugh, because then that's not polite, you know?
No, that's not.
And it hurts. And it hurts feelings. And I cried myself to bed many nights like that, because
God forbid we should hurt anybody's feelings.
But pointing and laughing, you know, it's just, it's hurt. It hurts.
Yeah. Feelings be damned. We're Erie House. We're going to laugh like a bunch of sick mobsters. Goodfellas. Yep. That was such a good movie. Such a good movie.
Yep. We have, it just, I just love sharing all these wonderful, it's hard to think of this as an old radio program, but Dale, we were 18 when this one was airing.
And are you suggesting that was a long time ago?
Well, that's what I'm starting to feel. But you know what? When I did my radio plays, which is long after the Mystery Theater started, that was 20 years ago now. Think about that.
Yeah.
Wow.
What's 44 years ago? Blink of the eye. Seems like yesterday. Some stuff happened in between. We don't remember because we're from the
70s. There's some stuff in my eyes that wasn't there 44 years ago, so, you know.
Yeah, there's some stuff under my eyes. They're called bags.
Yep. But it's all worth the laugh.
Sack after sack after sack. Wonderful thing. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing.
Yeah. Thank goodness for backups. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. Laughter used to get me in trouble in school. Because, of course,
really?
I liked cutting up. I was a sarcastic person by nature.
You?
Yeah.
You?
Yeah. Believe it or not, Dave. I had a sardonic approach to things from an early age. In efforts of trying to make people laugh, I would make teachers not laugh so much.
I did. I had a history class where I did impersonation of my teacher until the end of the year when he did this impersonation of me. I thought it was pretty funny. And he was always afraid of my oral speeches giving out in the history class. I was one of the few people that really had fun with it, you know?
Yeah. Well, teachers be damned. No, I had some good ones. I did have some really, really good ones in my time. Those are the ones I choose to remember.
Yeah.
Because they were
good. I had some teachers, a couple of speech teachers, one in junior high and one in senior high, who both saw more in me than I ever saw in me. And so, part of who I am today is due to their belief in my abilities. So
that's pretty good. One of my teachers used the power of laughter. He would entertain while teaching and drilling stuff in. He was a history teacher, but he was also a spelling buff, and he would have spelling contests to get extra credit to get you through his boring history class. You know how kids are. Mm-hmm. History's not interesting until after you don't have to take history class anymore. Then it gets real interesting for some reason.
I always enjoyed it.
I didn't until I got out of school, and then I found it fascinating.
I can understand that, too. It was one of the few things. And of course, I wasn't even all that great about it because of the fact that in it I had dyslexic, and so history is nothing but a bunch of dates in general. And
yeah.
So I get and numbers jumble up in my head. So, you know, as far as doing well on tests, I didn't. I loved the subject, but just...
Well, you want to associate the date with an event or something, though, for the history to tell a story.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it is. It's a bunch of dates and names and places.
Dates and names,
for the most part.
And so, and again, not knowing I had this learning disability, it was always, but you know what? You made your way through it. You made the adjustments and did what you could.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, Dave,
yep.
You're our hero here with the great programming you provide, like tonight's show, Childish Laughter. Let's wrap up CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
This is WBBM Chicago. The brand of Cain. How simple it was to assess, to judge mankind's first murder. The smoldering anger, the burst of fury, the raised club, the crushed skull.
But as we evolve and become infinitely complex human beings, even killing undergoes a metamorphosis. It is now possible to kill unconsciously, without passion, without even meaning or wanting to, and most often, without even knowing about it.
Yes. Yes, I killed her.
Hugh, you can't say that.
Who is this guy? What's he talking about?
This little girl. I killed this little girl.
What have we got here, Miss Bordenay?
Now, Hugh, everything is going to be all right.
No, nothing's going to be all right. Nothing can ever be all right again. Not for me.
Miss Bordenay, maybe this fellow needs a doctor.
A doctor? My good man, I am a doctor.
Well, then, Doc, don't you think...
Look, I have a Ph.D. in chemistry.
Hugh, perhaps we'd better go.
Go.
Back home.
Home. I was driven from my home. The devils drove me from my home.
Come to my home. Everything will be all right.
I'm sorry about the little girl. Please believe me. I'm sorry about little Betty Jane Morphy and all the others.
Yes, Hugh, yes. Now we must go home.
Is this how it's going to be? Am I going to lose my mind? Shall I preside over the slow disintegration of my sanity? No, I have to fight. I'm only 42. I can still have a long, productive, useful life. And now that I've met her finally, I can be happy. We can be happy. All I need is a little rest. A little sleep.
Mrs. Bordenave?
Yes, Crenshaw?
I have here a copy of a newspaper.
Thank you. Chemist found blameless in infant deaths. Dr. Montrose unaware that Nutrison had been inadequately and improperly tested.
I see you're reading my press notices.
Oh.
And now you know.
Everyone agrees it wasn't your fault.
Yes, but the children are dead.
Yes.
Nutrison was mine, my creation. Was going to make every child healthy, strong, more resistant to infections, fevers. It was going to be a wonder, a miracle drug.
Yes, that's what you wanted.
And that's what I thought I'd found. But it began a chain reaction, and it destroyed the ability, the natural ability of the body to... Look, do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
And now they're dead. 100 children that we know about. They're dead.
Yes, we know that, and it's tragic. But do you want to die, too?
I?
Life goes on. You're like the captain of a plane that crashes with the loss of every life aboard but your own. You're a commanding officer of a company that has been wiped out.
But these were children. Children.
It makes it harder, but it must be done.
What must be done?
You must rebuild your life.
I can't think of that now.
You must think of that now, before it's too late. Before you become too deeply enmeshed in remorse and regret. I felt that way. I was driving the car when Edward Bordenave died.
Please, I don't want to hear anything.
But you must listen. I had too much to drink. I insisted on driving. Need I tell you there was a crash? That he was killed instantly. That I escaped unhurt. I ran away from the world. That's why I'm here. But you can't run away. The world was meant to be lived in. It has too much to offer. That's what I suddenly realized when you knocked on my door.
Oh, it's too late.
Why?
You know what I did?
Yes. You tried to do something worthwhile. You tried to make things better.
And I made things worse.
But that's how it goes in this world. Next time, you'll be successful.
Next time?
And I'll be successful, too. I'll have a real marriage. I won't be a spoiled, indulged little doll. Hugh, we all get another chance.
What? Do you really believe that?
You do. You told me.
What?
Didn't you say... While we live, there's always hope for a sunrise.
Yes, but
what? Was it just talk?
We've only just met.
That's right. But we met at exactly the right time, when each of us needs the other. And so maybe our meeting was no accident.
What are you saying?
I don't know what I'm saying. Or maybe I do. Maybe these things are meant to be. Who knows? What brought you to my house at the exact moment in time when...
I look into her eyes, the deep, dark eyes, and there's a light that shines in them, a soft light that fills me with warmth and hope. What did bring me to her house at this exact moment in time? Was it for this purpose? To be given fresh hope? Courage? I dared to think, I dared to believe it was so. Why not? Why shouldn't I be saved?
Hugh, tell me about Nutrison.
Nutrison?
Tell me the truth about Nutrison.
It's all in the newspapers.
I don't care what's in the newspapers. I want the truth.
Nutrison. I wanted to create a builder of tissue.
What went wrong?
I wanted to create a wholesome, beneficial thing for children, to build stronger bodies, to increase resistance to disease.
And what happened?
I thought I had.
Yes?
But it got away from me.
I don't understand.
They came along.
Who?
You know, this big company. You read the paper.
Yes.
And they said, well, you know what they said. You read it.
Yes.
They said, you've got it. Man, have you got it? We'll take it from here. Now it requires the kind of research and development that we're equipped to do.
And so you gave it to them. You gave them Nutrison.
Yes.
Why?
Because this is how it's done. You come up with the idea, you come up with a basic formula, the product in its primitive state, and then an outfit with the equipment, the facilities, the money, the manpower comes and takes it over.
And they took it.
Well, how was I to know that they'd rush it to the market without...
But you acted in good faith.
Yes.
Then what will drive away the devils?
But no one believes me.
Everyone believes you. The charges against you were dropped, weren't they?
They believe me legally. Or they believe me technically. But they don't really believe me.
I believe you.
What? Ira.
See, all you need is one person to believe you. Eventually, everyone falls into line.
Why didn't I meet you when I was younger?
We have so much time to make up for. Let's not waste a single minute. I want to sell this house.
And go where?
New York.
New York?
Or Boston, or Chicago, or San Francisco.
But...
Where the work is, where the fun is. You'll open another laboratory.
Do you know what you're saying?
Of course.
Who would ever trust me?
I trust you.
What company would ever want anything to do with me?
It's going to be difficult.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Are you afraid? Afraid to fight back?
It can take such a long time.
But you haven't answered the question. Are you afraid to fight your way back?
No. I'm not afraid of anyone or anything.
Oh, darling. Darling. What was that?
Sounded like a shot.
A shot? Who would fire a shot?
Oh! I'm sorry, Miss Bodnev.
Jerry Morphy, what's the meaning of...
Your fellow Crenshaw wouldn't let me come in.
What did you do to Crenshaw?
Nothing. I had to put a bullet through the window to convince him I meant business.
How dare you force your way in here?
I don't have no quarrel with Crenshaw. It's him standing there. He's the one I want.
Do you realize Crenshaw is calling the sheriff?
I know. I know something else, too. I know it has to take the sheriff at least 20 minutes to get out here. I don't need 20 minutes for what I have to do.
What are you saying? Put that gun away.
What am I saying? Ask him. He knows what I'm saying. Tell her what I'm saying, Dr. Montrose.
You know who I am.
You as good as told me back in the shop. Then I remembered seeing your picture in the paper.
He's going to kill me, Thyra.
No!
Can't you see it? Can't you see it in his eyes?
Jerry, listen to me.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Bodnev. I gotta do it.
Who are you to judge another human being?
We're past that kind of argument.
You'll spend the rest of your life in jail.
That's all right. I have to do it. I have to do it for my brother.
Jerry, don't you understand? It was a mistake.
We all have to pay for our mistakes.
He didn't mean it. He tried. Oh, good Lord, Jerry, he's a man of science, of truth. He only wanted to do good. It wasn't his fault.
It wasn't?
No, no, it wasn't. He had a vision of children who would never be sick. Children who would never suffer. That's why he created Nutrison.
Let him tell me that, Miss Bordenave. Tell me, Doctor. Tell me you invented the thing for the reason she said. Tell me that.
Tell him you.
Well?
The answer is yes.
You did it for the kids. You didn't do it for the money.
Tell him you did it for the children.
Can you tell me that?
Yes.
Miss Bordenave, do you have a Bible?
A Bible? In the drawer.
All right, get it.
Here.
Give it to him. Now, Doctor, tell me you didn't do it to get rich. Hold on to that Bible and tell me.
I did it because I wanted... Listen.
What is it?
Quit stalling.
She's here.
Who's here?
Don't you recognize her laugh? Your niece.
What are you trying to put over?
Now, listen. It's Betty Jane.
She's dead.
No, she's here. Betty Jane's here. Now I know what this place is. This is the place they all come to afterward. They come here to her, to Thyra Bordenave, this dear, kind lady.
Hugh, what are you saying?
That's why I came here. Don't you understand? No, listen to me. Listen, children, listen to me, all of you. I came here to find you.
Hugh, you must calm yourself.
Now, don't you hear them all?
There is no them.
Oh, yes, they're children, you must forgive me. I shouldn't have sold the Nutrison before it was ready. But they gave me money. Children, do you know how much money? And why not? I was only doing it for the money.
Hugh.
But it's the truth. I was tired of being poor. Oh, I was respected. I was distinguished, but I was poor. I just let the idea of the money make me careless.
Don't say that. He'll kill you.
Let him kill me. I hear her laughter. I'll hear it till the day I die. Go ahead, Jerry. Kill me. Kill me. What are you waiting for?
I can't kill him.
Why not?
Because I hear her laughing, too.
Jerry.
I'm the one that killed her. I'm the one who said to Joe and Edna, poor kid, so scrawny. Why don't you give her some of this Nutrison stuff they advertise? I'm the one... talked him into it. I wanted Joe to kill me, too. But he won't.
Please, Jerry.
I won't kill you, neither. You and me. We're gonna hear this little girl till the day we die.
The children wait, says the poet. And it's true. They wait. They wait for what children have always waited for since the very beginning of time. They wait their turn. They wait for the day when they shall no longer be children. And how do they know when that day arrives? It comes when the lilt of childish laughter has left the voice forever. I'm leaving you, but only for a short while.
We're going to stick our neck out and tell you something.
It's hard to mix with Arrow shirt.
And the reason is so simple.
America shirt maker.
America's shirt maker has done it again with what is probably the best shirt collar ever made. Arrow's patented custom collar, and only Arrow's got it. It's a whole inch wider at the bottom than the top, just like your neck is. It's adjustable by a full half inch, and it's got a special notch so so the neckband doesn't show over your tie.
America's shirt maker is Arrow Shirts.
See why we're sticking our neck out. Stick your neck into an Arrow custom collar.
America's shirt maker is Arrow Shirts.
If we're not already your shirt maker, we ought to be.
Life is for living, and Visa is there. Touring pleasures, antique treasures, Switzerland and by the yard, Scottish castles, worst castles, changing the guard.
Recognized card in the world. Visa, we're keeping up with you. We read the paper, we hear, we see the news. Every now and then, something goes wrong with our marvelous mechanized civilization. The plane falls. The machine fails. The building collapses. The beneficial chemical suddenly runs amok and destroys instead of heals. And so, murder. Unintentional, accidental, regrettable murder, but murder nevertheless, is built into our culture. Does every society require victims? The ancients believed so. That's why they performed sacrifices. Does the heart of the matter ever really change? Our cast included Alexander Scourby, Laurie March, and Court Benson. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant
macabre
dreams.
E.G. Marshall can't be wrong.
Maybe. For the news.
And that's the news.
And that's the news. All right. So that was a good one. Yeah.
We could have something to learn from us, I guess.
Well, if you say so. It's several scrolls away here. For the laughter, if for no other reason, Treehouse Radio proudly presents another garrulous moral of the story.
With apologies to Gar, it's okay to laugh as a child, but childish laughter is just plain creepy. There you go.
There you go.
What, are we sure we're starting the show over again? What?
Yes. No.
No.
Just can't get too much of that laugh.
No.
We miss it in its original usage.
Yes, we do.
As it was intended. But,
yes, full and outblown and not held back.
Actually, it was taken from a comedy album, wasn't it? like Hudson and Landry or
like
somebody
Ajax,
like that? Or
like
Ajax.
Hudson and Landry? Hudson and Landry?
Yeah,
and they had all those Ajax things?
Yep. Ajax liquor store.
So. Yep.
Good. Cleveland comedy. You should have been here.
Had you been able to, you should have. Yes.
Yes. So anyway, the holiday season is upon us, you know.
It is.
Uh-huh.
I know. Uh-huh. Are you ready? Are you all ready for the holiday, Dale?
I it's awesome. We did almost all our shopping on Amazon. All right. So me, procrastinator, I ordered mine about a week after hers. All my stuff came before hers. All the stuff that I ordered for her came before the stuff she ordered for everybody else. Sorry, that's horrible. I wouldn't wish that on anyone. Because with the way things are, you don't know where you're,
yep.
You know what I mean? You can't be, even the mail is horrible now. I'm sorry to say. I'm a big fan of the U.S. Postal Service, but things ain't like they used to be.
Actually, it's better now than it was. It is purposely slowed down during election time and just before election time. And that's a terrible thing to happen. But then the election is over and it's holiday time and they're back on their mark again.
Seems to me during election time is when you'd want the mail to move. But what do I know?
Well, that depends. We won't go into that here. And
nope.
But yeah. Nope, we won't do that. Because we don't do that here at Eerie House Radio. We're here for the yucks and the laughs and to present great radio programs to everyone. Because that's what it's all about, man.
That's what we do. That's what we're here for.
Yep.
That is why we were created. Dave, this is...
some of us are in accident. I don't know what you're talking about.
Back of a Chevy or something like that. Conceived in an automobile. But, Dave, this has been a wild ride as we're coming to the end of the year. I mean, it's almost coming on now, 6 years?
6 years.
6 years.
Wow.
Of Eerie House Radio.
Six full years, right? Six full years.
In a few weeks. It'll be a full 6 years. And I have learned so much old-timey radio facts and factoids and things. It's been a wild ride. It's been fun. Let's do six more.
It's so neat because there's so many more stories out there to share. And I keep finding other little sources as well from here and there from time to time to throw in there. The golden age of radio was golden, but, you know, then in the 70s, as you said, you know, it went away in the 60s, it came back in the 70s. It had to be the silver age, as you have termed it. And with all that, you have all these great, because what is a radio play but a great short story, a vocalized short story? So just... think of all the people that had work writing because of these as well.
Absolutely. And it's a good thing. Probably grossly underpaid, but at least they got their stuff out there for us to enjoy.
Yes. Yep.
And it was the main source of entertainment back in the day. We'll keep this stuff coming.
But, yeah. Well, when we came to the Great Depression, you know, some people couldn't even go afford to see those dime movies that they had, you know. So you stayed home, and if you had a radio, you got to listen to it on the radio for free.
Yep. That's the way radio should be. That's the way Eerie House is. We hope to keep it that way. Because it's more fun when it's free.
It's always more fun when someone else is paying for it.
That's right. That's right. But with the holidays coming upon us, I think we ought to whet our appetites a bit with a little audio treat here to get you ready for the holidays. Let's ruin them now.
Okay. What do we got?
Good God. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all to the castle.
My monsters were having a Yuletide hassle.
The tree was all trimmed in ghoulish things.
Like werewolf fangs and vampire wings.
It was a monster's holiday.
They were up to no good.
It was a monster's holiday.
Didn't act like good monsters, sure.
It was a monster's holiday.
They found themselves a new play.
It was a monster's holiday.
They planned to rob Santa's sleigh.
They were making a list and checking it twice.
Megatron wanted a shiny new trike.
A new chain for Yanish. A brace for Igor's back.
A speed shaver for Wolfman. A new cape for Drek.
They were up to no good.
It was the monster's holiday.
Didn't act like good monsters, sure.
It was the monster's holiday.
They found themselves a new play.
It was the monster's holiday.
They planned to rob Santa's sleigh.
The mummy was to signal from the castle roof.
Very first sound of reindeer hoof.
As Santa slid down the chimney wall.
The zombies were to make off with sleigh and all.
From beyond the moat, there arose such a clatter.
I jumped to the window to see what was the matter.
Like a bolt of lightning, it happened so quick.
And there, in our midst, stood old Saint Nick.
He began to dig down deep in his sack.
And he came up with a traction for Igor's back.
Drag out his cape, Frankie tried, made him behave.
Even Wolfman was happy. Now he can shave.
And all ended well.
And Santa really was swell.
No need to rob Santa's sleigh.
Maybe next year he'll come back.
So the children everywhere were spared the grief
of losing their presents in a monster sleigh thief.
Now the monsters love Santa and say they'll behave.
And never again rob sleighs or graves.
Igor, what do you think of Santa now?
Santa good.
And Santa said as he drove out of sight,
Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night, bleh bleh.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open hearse.
Dashing through the snow.
Where is that reindeer with the bloody, red nose?
On Donner, on Blitzen, on Dancer. What are the names of the other reindeer?
It doesn't matter. We ate them yesterday.
To be honest, I only hit a little bit of their blood. Bleh, bleh.
Anyone for antler soup?
Oh, here we are. We're back.
Yep. Hey, and don't forget, if you can find it on my, tacked up to the top of my Facebook page and the Weirdness Really Bad Movie page. You're going to at TWRBM for the Weirdness Really Bad Movie. You can catch our latest comedy video and with Al and myself. And our own version of All I Want for Christmas is Dough. And it's a really fun little romp we have there. And we're working on our fourth holiday special. Be on some different outlets near you soon, hopefully. Filmed it Friday night. And we're having all four of our holiday videos, music videos in here, as well as a couple of TV shows, public domain TV shows, and all kinds of fun. So,
fire is coming.
Tis the season. Tis the season.
Yes. Tis the season to eat jelly. La 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 la.
Yeah.
How about the wheel, Dave?
Jelly? I don't know.
What do you think about the wheel? How about the wheel?
What about the wheel? Sure. I haven't done it in a long time.
All right. You may take the podium, sir.
I am going to walk up there. Wait, I can't reach it. I got to get on the goat here first. Sorry, goat. All right, and I give it a big chug.
Around, around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Thank you very much. Well, Gracie, I hope the people liked our show tonight.
Well, I hope so, too. But there's somebody who never misses our show and loves them all. Tressa Callender.
Tressa Callender? Who is she?
Well, George, don't you remember a couple of months ago reading about that wealthy Pasadena woman who murdered her husband and hid his body under the railroad bridge?
Yeah.
Well, Tressa Callender's brother works for that railroad.
That Tressa Callender.
Yes. You know, the first time I ever met her was in a shoe store. You know, I must have spent 4 or 5 hours in that store that day.
Must have bought a lot of shoes.
No, I didn't buy any.
4 or 5 hours, no shoes?
Well, when you're hot and tired, there's nothing that rests you like having a salesman take your shoes off and measure your feet.
Went into a shoe store just for that?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the only place I know. They don't take them off in a hat store.
I guess not.
And anyway, you meet much nicer people in shoe stores. I don't know why it is, but people's faces seem much more friendly with their shoes off.
Yeah, well, when you're stocking feet, you gotta be more friendly.
Well, now, take this woman who's sitting next to me. She was buying a pair of shoes for a little boy in Pomona. She said he'd been walking for 2 years. So I said, well, he can't be walking very fast. After 2 years, he certainly should be much farther than Pomona.
He should be in Kansas City by now, but you did your best to be friendly.
And not only that, she was self-conscious about her legs, so I cheered her up.
Naturally.
Yeah. She said her husband kids her because her legs don't match Betty Grable's. So I said, well, the joke's on him. They don't even match each other.
That was a nice piece of cheering.
Yes. But the next lady who sat next to me, I didn't think she was very nice.
Well, it takes all kinds of women to make a shoe store.
Well, imagine telling the salesman she wanted to exchange a couple of pairs of shoes for her sons because they were too tight.
You said?
And I said, well, just because they drink a little, I certainly wouldn't trade them for a pair of shoes. I'd sober them up and give them another chance.
Hey, what about saying goodnight?
Oh, I should say not. I was so mad at her that I walked right out,
Gracie,
and left the store.
Gracie, I mean the people that are watching us.
Oh, well, I'm not mad at them. Good night, everybody.
Here you go. George and Gracie. In the shoe store.
And that's the kind of stuff that they did... Well, what they kind of did on the vaudeville circuit. So, and then this is kind of what came around full swing, that their TV shows were written a little bit short, and I think early in their TV career, and they came out on stage at the end of their episodes, and they did a little bit of their routine that they would do back when they were in vaudeville.
Ah. Very sneaky.
Very sneaky.
Very
and George
sneaky.
Burns never considered himself a writer, but he truly was. And he headed up all the writers and made sure they were taking things in the right direction. So,
yeah.
Interesting guy. Interesting
Certainly guy. Made the most of his situations and stayed... Stayed employed for a long, long, long time.
Very long time. He said when Gracie retired, and a lot of it was due to, you know, health concerns for her, she only lived a few years after they stopped doing television. He said, but why would I retire? I haven't even worked yet. I'd get on the stage and I'd say to Gracie, did you hear from your mother? And that was the last thing he had to say for the rest of the show, you know, so
yeah,
she was a comic genius and he could tell it. And, cause when he did a lot of things before he teamed up with Gracie, and a lot of different guys, and none of them really made it, including him, until he got hooked up with Gracie. And I think he first started off by being the comic. It didn't take long before he realized, even though she wasn't the comic, she was getting the laughs. So he turned things around and had her read a comic, and he became a straight man. And it takes a great comic to be able to be a straight man.
Absolutely.
It truly does.
Absolutely.
So, and to know that that's your role. And to know that that's your role.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and Abbott and Costello, I wonder if Abbott realized, you know, you're the straight man, dude. You have to be. And let Lou go. Turn him loose.
Yeah. You know, your job is to kind of rein him in. Tom and Dick's mothers, you know. Dickie would go off on tangents and stuff, and it was Tom's job to pull him in. And it just – I'm trying to think there's – the only team that there really wasn't a dominant person, although he was more dominant, would have been Laurel Hardy. Oliver Hardy was a little bit more dominant, and that's the way Stan Laurel
right.
won it.
But both of them could play for laughs.
Both of them could play for
laughs.
Right.
Yeah.
And
they were
so
a unique
often,
team.
So often, Oliver Hardy would get the laugh by breaking the third wall, staring at the camera. I don't know of anybody. Occasionally, you know, in the early films, Groucho Marx would comment to the camera, but because all the stuff that they, all their early stuff, stuff that they did on stage, and they transferred that to the film, and the guys that wrote it, you know, would look at that and says, you know, if watching him on stage, if I hadn't known I'd written that line, I would have thought he made it up. You know, he just ad-libbed it, and it wasn't. It just, he was, Groucho was so perfect on his timing for the punchlines that it just seemed like just about everything he said was an ad-lib.
Yeah, and all the comedy greats, at least in some aspect, had great timing with the teams that did well. Your Stooges, Abbott and Costello, the Marx Brothers.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
Each a talent unto themselves, but yet worked as a team so, so well for us.
And the ones that never really get the attention anymore today, the Ritz Brothers. Because you look at that and you mark them up against the Marx Brothers. And Marx Brothers were great because they were so different, but the Ritz Brothers, outside of Harry, in a sense, they were almost identical in many ways, and had great musical talents and dance moves and things like that. They did a lot of early musicals, but they have been lost in the shuffle. And they thought it was the worst thing they ever did when they did the Gorilla, but I thought that was hilarious. And I thought they were wonderful in that. So, you know.
Yeah, no, they're not as well remembered as the other teams we talked about.
Yeah, so it just I guess it depends on whether it's your time or not. And, you know, Bob Hope went through a resurgence for a while back. And Bing Crosby never did. You know, Bing Crosby was the number one box office, number one record seller and all these things. And yet, if it weren't for Christmas time, I don't think anybody would remember who the heck Bing Crosby was.
Nope.
It's terrible.
But they'll remember to be back here next weekend for Erie House Radio. Our Christmas weekend is...
We did
Thursday,
it.
We're doing Saturday, which is Mutual Radio Theater, The End of Scrooge with Hans Conried.
Yes.
And then
Hans Conried.
Friday, which is Friday, it's Our Miss Brooks, The Magic Christmas Tree. This is my best, a plot to overthrow Christmas with Orson Welles. And, oh, goody, 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 WCRS radio stage, Murder in a One-Horse Open Sleigh. Hey.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be next
this was
week.
One of John Drew wrote for us and I produced, yeah.
Thursday at 4:30. Yeah, and I can't wait for it. Thursday at 4:30. Join us, please. We would like it very much for you to be in here. Thank you very much.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
That's it.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it? I knew you could.
I dig it. Go dig it.
Oh, slammed the door right on the goat.
Oh, man. No wonder he got mad. Go got real mad.
He screamed. Yeah, we might have to do the same thing for New Year's week, possibly.
Yeah. That'd be okay.
We'll do the Thursday-Friday thing and just scoot the Saturday over to Thursday just to make my head spin around in circles. That's fine. It'll work.
Yeah, we can do that. We can do that. We can do that.
Yeah. Oh, man. Christmas is coming. You ready? Is your shopping done?
Yeah, my wife wanted something with diamonds in it, so I got her a deck of cards.
You are a card. Ought to be dealt with.
Oh, my. Yeah. We have fun, though. We have fun.
Oh, we do. We do. This is...
Rice and I don't do a whole lot for each other. We do some, but not a whole lot, just because basically we do mostly what we want throughout the year. We don't really get to go out any place or, you know, as far as vacations or going away and stuff. So we just kind of indulge ourselves as we go along, you know, so.
That's kind of us. We don't want to go anywhere. And, you know, we're blessed. we are blessed to have a beautiful yard. You know what I mean? With animals that come and visit us and make our dog crazy.
Yeah.
No, you know what I mean? So I don't mind doing the staycation thing, as people call it.
Yeah.
You know, when I do get a little bit of time off, I'm usually running around doing errands anyway, but I'm comfortable here.
Yeah, and yeah, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, some people think you have to go away, and I think if you have the chance just to break from the routine and you still get to do what you want, and I know that many times when I take time off, I'm doing some writing or preparing for something, you know, that I'm going to end up doing. You know, we've got the Erie House that goes on. We've got the couple of different shows I work on, and who knows what else I get myself into from time to time. What's that?
Just a couple.
Yeah, a couple or so. Yeah.
Yeah. You're a madman. You're an absolute madman, Dave.
Sleep is overrated. That's what I always say. Sleep is overrated.
I don't know how you do it, but I have trouble staying up till 9 o'clock. Serious.
I have learned to, every once in a while, I get in a quick afternoon nap of about anywhere from 40 minutes to hopefully an hour. And
hour nap.
when I get up, and not right then, it's kind of groggy when I get up, but it does give me a little extra energy to go in. And like this week here, Dale, you know, I've been so busy getting the music video together that I didn't think I'd have time. But, so every year we do these Christmas videos, and they haven't been in any of our shows. So I said, man, I really wanted to. But so Monday afternoon, I was negotiating with Holly over the phone to get her to, you know, be the co-host. And I suggested something, didn't hear anything. So what if I come to your house that you're going to help me wrap some packages and we build a show around that? And she said, well, that would work. And so I got a response out of her. So Monday I wrote two scripts. Monday I wrote one script. Tuesday I wrote two scripts. Wednesday I wrote the fourth script I needed. But then I went ahead on Thursday and wrote a thought of the week and another script and threw that at her. And we went ahead Friday afternoon. We got together and we got all that filmed. It's just
that's
a matter of putting
it
all together now.
That's how you got her to wrap all your gifts. I see how you work. I see I see how
you know, I got to show you that bit. I have to send that to you because I'm really pleased with the way the first segment is the most difficult. And in the meantime, her kids are coming home. Her husband's out on an emergency fishing trip, and her kids
emergency
are coming home.
Emergency fishing trip?
he had an emergency fishing trip. And,
I like that. It's an emergency fishing trip.
Yeah.
This isn't an ordinary fishing trip, mind you.
No.
It's an emergency.
So, yeah. So she was bringing the kids. And of course, her kids come in on the bus, and the bus has a GPS on it, so she always knows where they're at, that kind of a thing. Let us see. Here you are. Where are you, Dale? Where are you? There you are.
Here I am.
I've sent this to you. You're right there. I know. But it came out pretty good. I used two cameras at one particular spot, and the rest of it was just one camera. And outside of a little bit of focus problem I was having with my doggone camera.
Yipes.
Yeah. It all came out really well.
Groovy.
So we're doing what we're doing. Last night I got the first one, which was, again, the most intensive one. And then I got earlier this afternoon, I got the last one and the thought of the week and then an extra one that we didn't write, but I said, hey guys, we got to do this. So let's make a bet out of it. And it's called wrapping it up. And when they're wrapping me up and tying me up in Christmas paper and the Scotch tape and such. And so we made a little sketch out of it, which I sped everybody up and things. So it's just a cute little piece called Wrapping It Up.
I haven't been in writing mode in a while, Dave, but isn't it amazing how many different ways skits are born?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What might flip the switch to say, oh, this would be great?
Yeah. I know when we did our 10th show, and Maureen, it was the one time she's hosted for. She was in a lot of the radio plays, Maureen Davis. But she only co-hosted once. Then we were at the Haunted Schoolhouse in the Laboratory in Akron. And she said, which one were you going to do first, Dave? I said, the one we did right. And I said, she's all great. The one I didn't write. And she said, oh, great. And it kind of got great, you know. It was because Holly was with me for a short time, but she had to go. So, you know, she did the interview and then she turned around and she was part of this skit. And then she got to take off. And then we went on and did the rest of the show. But yeah, it was a part I didn't write, but I had it up on the top of my head. I said, I know this will be funny. And it did. It worked out nice. Ended up calling that sketch the Ghoul Friend and a little pantomime thing. The Ghoul Friend.
The best kind. Even Goulardi had a ghoul friend over there.
He had a ghoul friend over there. But yeah, so it's a you're right, they come from so many different things, and not one particular thing can right in the show. I was worried about the second and the third segments because I actually didn't have anything to say, but I said it anyway, you know. And they came out pretty good.
Yeah, I get in trouble in moments like that one. I know, I shouldn't say something. I say it anyway.
Don't you find that when you don't know what to say, but you say it anyway?
Sometimes I know what to say, and I know I shouldn't say it, and I say it anyway. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And you've been there for some of them. Yeah.
That's what the goat says. Yeah, yep, yep.
Yeah. You've been there for a few of them.
You probably have, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not too bad. I'm not like a horrible human being.
When we're in front of people, we try to do what we're supposed to do and try not to go off the tracks too far, you know.
Yeah, he's not evil. He's just misguided. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
You're sticking with it, okay?
I'm sticking with
good
it.
Thing.
Not evil.
Well, I do hate to cut it a little short here, but I do have a show to put together here. And
sure,
a limited amount of time.
Let's roll in the guy with the big beak above his aperture.
Yep. Let's do it, Mr. Durante. You know what to do.
So, Horrible Horror starring Gary Goulin just a few minutes ago. All right, here he goes. Jimmy Durante.
Good night.
Good night.
It's time to say good night. Good night.
Where's
what more to say?
a good night.
We've
had a few laughs,
okay.
And it's time for toodaloo. Sorry, go up, we the same, and eat cookie, think you do.
Good
night.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
Bye-bye.